And that's a composer represented, maybe, on the next M Show. And here is the M of the M Show, Mateusz Wolski. Good morning, Mateusz.
Good morning, Vern.
And so let's start right in on just a few of the musical ideas. We'll move into the concept in a minute. But you are doing Corelli in some form, aren't you?
Oh, yes, we are. We're actually doing we're playing this beautiful piece by Corelli. It's a set of it's a theme and set of variations. It's called La Folia. It has a beautiful, nice, flowy tune, and well, we might be twisting it just a little bit. But yeah, you would have to come to a show to actually see how we are going to twist it. But I assure you, it's actually quite fun and quite brilliant. So. Yeah, well, having a lot of fun with that one.
Episode 2 of the M Show, which is this Thursday and Friday, May 24th and 25th at 8 o'clock at the Washington Cracker Company building. So the operative word in what you just said, Mateusz, was we, because it's the cast of characters that often determines where you go. And so who is the we in question that's going to be taking on La Folia?
I actually see it's this whole show started as my crazy idea about, okay, what do we do if we take a bunch of classically trained musicians and start setting them up for a variety of sometimes musical but sometimes non-musical challenges and pitting against each other and just starting to have fun with music and kind of break the mold of what's typically expected of us? And of course, in order to do that and still play good music, number one person that you need is a great arranger. Mm-hmm. And so it happens that... that we have in our midst a fantastic arrangement. His name is David Armstrong, and I have just crazy idea. Again, I cannot reveal too much, but I came to come to somebody like David and say, "Hey, David, I have this great idea. There's this wonderful piece by Corelli called La Folia, and I would love to do this with that. Can you help me out?" So David was like, let me think about this. And of course, then he comes back with even a crazier idea that I originally had. So. What do we do? I mean, we just put it all in motion, and then we arrive into a very, very, very interesting places. And so slowly, the fascinating thing about the M Show is that I'm getting to collaborate with other people, the other artists that sometimes you would completely not expect. And and it becomes almost like a movement. Mm-hmm. Of, hey, what if we do this? You know, and then quite often, because we do a lot of funny things in the show, what's end up happening when I tell some of my friends and some people, like, hey, you know, I'm doing this musical show that we do some challenges, some jokes, set up funny situations. All of a sudden, I get enormous amount of crowdsourcing when somebody would come to me and say, hey, have you think about this kind of skit? You know, what if you put a musician doing this on that? Yeah, so it's absolutely amazing that actually people are starting to participate. Actually, what I can reveal is that for this particular show, I had this idea that you might know that the Spokane Symphony actually is doing a new music director search. You know, our current music director, Eckhart Proy, is going to conduct half of the next season. And after that, unfortunately, he's moving on to a greener pastures.
Nothing's greener than Spokane, but keep going.
Well, yeah, anyway, so we actually do have to find a new music director. So we have a very exhaustive professional process of doing that. And I thought, you know, what if we play a joke on that whole situation and did our own version for the M Show of conductor search, which means, how do we do it? Well, let's create a scenario that we call "So You Think You Can Conduct," and do a spoof of all the, you know, reality TV competition shows, and set the conductor search in that way. And with this, I got absolutely a star cast of character that agreed to actually appear as our candidates. One of them is Tom Sherry, beloved by everybody. We also got our mayor of the town, Mayor Condon. So it's just people that I'm getting involved into the whole M proceedings. It's kind of crazy for me to see that I can pitch an idea that seems completely off the wall, and some people say, yeah, why not? Sure, let's do it. So I feel like we're making bigger and bigger splash and making more and more friends.
And speaking of making a splash, the other day you were advertising for needing somebody with a diver's weight belt. Did you come up with that?
Yes, I did. You know, this is one of the challenges that I was planning on. I'm always curious, and I put myself in my 10-year-old curious mind. And when I think particularly about the classical instrument and instrumentalist, question on my mind was always, how long can oboe player hold a note or play a phrase? So what did we do? We went to a pool. I needed a wetsuit and a weight belt in order to keep me underwater. And the question is, can I hold my breath longer than an oboe player can play a phrase? And of course, we make it all dramatic, and it's all great fun. But you know, somewhere behind all the things that we do, there's always a question of like, can this be done? Why is this happening? What if we smash those two things together? What's going to come out? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just being curious, and you know, I'm not a composer, so this is as close as I can get to being creative by just posing a questions and framing a situations and see what happens. And a lot of that stuff is going to be happening live, which we don't know what actually is going to happen. And that adds to the whole atmosphere of, you know, this is almost like a sports game when you come in.
Yeah, the M Show tomorrow and Friday night. And so, speaking of collaborations and combinations and things, you found a beatboxer.
Well, yes. You see, I mean, the thing is, we did some pop arrangements in the past on the our M Show number one, and this time I was thinking, you know, it's like, why is that? Generally, the beatbox in itself, it's a art of making sounds with your mouth, you know, but they are very culturally kind of associated with you know, African American culture, and I personally never really seen a collaboration of, you know, saying it plainly, a white man's classical music meet this kind of influence. And I thought M Show is a perfect location to see what happens if we got these two very distinctly cultural genres and smash them together. And can we actually make it fun and interesting and kind of create a new quality? And I think so far it seems that we're having a great time. And I really honestly think it's working. I'm having a hood, and whenever little samples that we do and we play for people, everybody's like, wow, I cannot believe that nobody really is doing this, you know, more. So we'll see. Maybe we'll start a trend.
Well, before we get into our duet, let's meet Eli Dyer. Hello, Eli.
Hi, how's it going?
Also known as Brother Nature. And do you mind giving us the 101 course in what goes on, what a beatboxer does, and how you do it?
Well, In a basic sense, a beatboxer manipulates sounds with his mouth. But in a more scientific sense, it's more airflow. It's more like just using your whole mouth and your breath and your voice and everything that is in the front of your face to, you know, create sounds, create a beat, create a tempo, or create like songs. Like there's some people that can sing and beatbox together. There's some people that can create a bass line and a whole entire song with just their mouth. So essentially, it's just kind of like one man banding it with your lips and your mouth.
And then, so that's good. That represents kind of what you do and how you do it. Now, talk to me for a minute, even before we get into the piece, about why you do it and why and how you became a beatbox artist.
Well, I remember as a young kid, I would always make a lot of obnoxious noises. My parents told me to knock it off all the time, but you know, I for some reason, you know, I always had a tempo in my head and I needed to represent it somehow, and I didn't have a way to do it all over the place, and so I just started doing it with my mouth. And so with that, I, you know, kept growing with it, kept progressing at it, figured out that there's a huge community of beatboxers all over the world, and you know, with that, with the internet now, to be able to see what is actually capable to do with a beatbox, that just inspired me to go further and further and further into it. And the reason why I do it is because it's fun.
Good
it's
reason.
Fun, and it, you know, it's music. It's sure. It's my life. So
nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move toward this performance. You can use either mic to describe a little bit more about getting together with this beatbox combination.
Well,
you know, I was thinking about what kind of piece would be would lend itself well to getting a professional violinist and professional beatboxer together. And, you know, it's always for something like an M show is to find something that is somehow recognizable. So, of course, I was thinking, you know, I'm a virtuoso, he's a virtuoso. What if we look into that repertoire? So we are going to play for you a little sample of one of the hardest caprices for the violin. It's written by Paganini, and it's called Caprice Number 24.
Okay, in the studio, violinist and beatboxer, and this version of Paganini. Okay, the beatboxer and the violinist right there doing a little bit of Paganini. Eli, I want to go back to you because Mateusz didn't really have to change much. He just played his Paganini piece the way he's played it in a practice room, that sort of thing. Talk about how you entered that and listened and described, made up, how you made up your part.
Well, it was just kind of like, you know, molding to the subject at mm-hmm. hand. You know, it took a minute to figure out everything to put to it because it changes tempo, it changes pattern, but, you know, in any way, you need to adapt with life mm-hmm. itself. So, sure. Like, I take that same philosophy and put it to music. And so, you know, that's kind of just what we did there. Mm-hmm. But it took a good couple of weeks to figure out exactly what to do. But,
yeah. And you're doing the whole Paganini
24th Caprice? You know, and the challenges, yeah. Well, you tell me that I'm playing exactly the way I was playing in the practice room, which is almost true, but not quite, Vern, because... you know, typically when you play that piece, it's just for solo violin. You can take your sweet time on the difficult bits, and you can always say, well, I just wanted to phrase it that way. Therefore, you actually make it playable. See, the whole story changes when you have a beat next to it, because all of a sudden, there is a certain freedom that you could take as a soloist. When you have a backup that is very rhythmical, you lose that freedom. So you have to be very, very much, you know, on top of your game in order to actually... deliver the performance. However, I wanted to touch up on the whole coming with the ideas for the beats to we. What is absolutely amazing is that actually from a classical musician's perspective, you know, you think about this particular piece as, okay, it's a theme, and then you have variations, and they represent a different techniques for the violin and, you know, kind of slightly different beat patterns. You add a beatboxer to this, and all of a sudden, especially when he started to add this beat and that beat, it's almost, for me right now, I cannot unsee the piece in a way that I feel it's almost like a journey through the world, because, you know, he is bringing the beats from anyway, from like reggaeton to you know, to house music, to actually there's a couple of free variations where he's doing sound effects, actually no beats. So it really almost takes, yeah, like the whole piece takes you for a ride around the world. I never ever thought about this particular piece as that it could be that. And all of a sudden I get a beatboxer and I'm like, wow. I mean, it actually adds depth to something that maybe it's not particularly like a serious music. So it's absolutely fascinating from my perspective how you actually can enhance and change perception. You know, and the whole goal of the M show is to change perception. You know, mm-hmm. is it okay for a classical musician to drop his tails and play in a T-shirt? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to bring a beatbox to a serious classical music? Mm-hmm. You know, is it okay to laugh when we are goofing around and not taking ourselves seriously? And that's the spirit of the M show. And I'm really, really happy that you know, we got together with Eli, and we've been having a great time. So, you know, that's I think the whole purpose of being a musician is to have a great time.
Sure. And you and Eli are doing the Paganini together. Are you using Eli anywhere else in the show, or do you give away secrets like that?
No, I mean we do. As we're going through the process, you know, Eli is also a songwriter, and when we were talking, he said, I said, you know, we could probably find a way to arrange one of your songs. Mm-hmm. He would not have an opportunity to have his songs arranged for a orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, he was like, sure, man, absolutely, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I have my wonderful arranger, David, who I just placed on sound clips of Eli singing with his friend Lucas. And I was like, hey, David, can we arrange that? And so we actually have Eli's original composition in our show. And it's a full-on collaboration. And, you know, and there's a bunch of other things because, of course, Eli, it's a good sport, so I had to put him into a competition.
Of course.
With our own percussionist, and I was very curious what's going to happen with that. So we are going to have, you know, there's a spirit of a competition through the whole show, so there is going to be some battles going on.
Yeah, and the Lucas in question, is that Lucas Brookbank?
Lucas Brookbank Brown, yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And just to surprise you right here, can you give us for a minute or two another example of your art right now? Just pick up your beat. Do we have the appropriate stuff that you could just lay a lay a minute or two of a song on us or something like that?
Just lay it on you, real quick.
Let's just drop it on you. He's a professional.
Here we go. Unexpected radio.
So this piece or this song or whatever, there's a thing that's kind of crazy when people can sing and beatbox at the same time. So I'm gonna get into a little bit of that and then go with a freestyle for about a couple minutes, so
great.
Yeah.
Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Don't you want somebody to love? You better find somebody to love, love, love. Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Don't you want somebody to love? You better find somebody to love, love, love. Need somebody to love. Need somebody to la 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 la. Don't you need somebody to love, love, love?
Wow, okay, right there, that was Eli Dwyer, known as Brother Nature, and the song, Don't You Need Somebody to Love. Thank you, what a lot of treat, a lot of fun. The M Show is tomorrow night and Friday night, so you can get it in before the weekend, and after all, it's going to be raining anyway, so there you go, you don't even have to compete with the weather, and that is Washington Cracker Company Building. That's on Pacific Avenue between Division and Washington, also known as the Terrain Building, for the next M Show. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. It's amazing.